supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Black holes are renowned for swallowing stars whole, never to be heard from again. Who knew they could also launch a star clear out of its galaxy? Let's follow the trajectory on this episode of Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. And Derek, we don't have to look very far. It's right in our own Milky Way.
29,000 light years away from us.
I can feel the breeze.
You can feel the breeze even from this distance. Yes, that's an incredibly close pass for a star like this one. And it's moving along at 3.7 million miles per hour. It's 10 times faster than the speed of a normal star in our Milky Way galaxy. But what's most fascinating, of course, is how it got to this speed altogether. It's thought that this star was at one time part of a binary system, two stars together orbiting a common center of gravity. The only problem for this pair of stars is that they were near the center of our galaxy, where there is a supermassive black hole. The companion star to this one got caught by the gravitational pull of the black hole, and the resulting pull actually caused our star to be thrown with a really, really high velocity out away from the center of the galaxy. So it looks as if this star is going to head out of our galaxy altogether, never to be seen again.
Are there lots of examples of ejecta that are just free-floating outside of galaxies?
No, there isn't a lot of that material, but there is some material out there. And now that we can see that there is a mechanism through which this kind of thing can happen, we're beginning to surmise that this is not the only situation in which this has occurred. There's even a process that goes with this that we well understand for how this can happen. And we've seen ultra-fast stars before. We've been identifying ultra-fast stars for about 10 years now. But it's the mechanism that we've been able to actually latch on to that helps us understand and explain what's been going on with these really, really high-velocity stars.
Meanwhile, let's come back a lot closer. The intrigue with Mars continues. The red planet, evidence of methane. And now what's this? Oxygen?
If you remember, a few years ago, there was this big hubbub about methane on Mars being discovered, levels of methane that seemed to be unusually high. Now, for Mars, unusually high does not necessarily mean that there's a lot, just that there's a tremendous increase of methane. And in that case, it sort of sparked the ideas that perhaps there were cows on Mars that were belching methane gas. As it turns out, we now understand that it's probably not a biologic process or a biotic process because we've been able to identify abiotic mechanisms. That means there's some sort of geologic or chemical-based process that can create the methane as well. But in this case, now it's been seen with oxygen. Now, if we think about that for a moment, wow, there's a tremendous increase in oxygen. Does that bode well for the possibility of humans visiting Mars at some point in the future? But let's look at the atmosphere of Mars a little bit more closely. And what we find is that there's not really very much air there at all. We're talking about less than 0.2% of the overall composition of the atmosphere.
You have to breathe pretty deep.
And you have to breathe a lot and fast. And if we put this into context for Earth, Earth's atmosphere is 21% oxygen, and that's just great because what we need for human breathing is at least 19.5%. If you drop that down by half, 10%, we'll be dead in 10 minutes. If it's under 6%, you'll be dead in less than a minute. So if you think about that, less than 0.2% in the overall composition of the Martian atmosphere, that means there's really not very much beneficial change for us at all. But it still remains a mystery to understand what the process is that allows for this swing in the amount of atmospheric oxygen at Mars.
Lastly, let's breathe deeply, head out of doors. What can be seen in the night sky this week?
We have great views of planets in the evening. Tonight and tomorrow night, Venus and Jupiter are together in the west just 30 minutes after sunset. That'll be a really great sight. Two bright planets hanging in the beautiful sunset sky over there. But Mercury climbs higher in the eastern pre-dawn sky. And in fact, Mercury passes the moon tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.